It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning, KSL News Time now, 8:30.
It's 62 in Provo, 73 in Salt Lake City.
Some big delays on Riverdale Road. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
American companies added 266,000 jobs last month, which is much lower than in March. We're also learning from many businesses they have job openings, but people aren't applying.
Local businesses are also being reminded they have the ability to report unemployment recipients who refuse a job offer. KSL News Radio's John Wojcik begins our team coverage.
Those on unemployment are currently eligible for an extra $300 a week until early September. Downtown Bar and Bistro owner Kirk Benson says it's hard to compete with that when interviewing potential hires.
They're like, well, let me compare the money I'm making on unemployment compared to what I'm going to make with you.
Zions Bank VP Robert Spenlove agrees that this is becoming more of a widespread problem.
It's really constraining the ability of the labor market to expand, of employers to find people.
Officials with the Department of Workforce Services are encouraging business owners to submit investigation requests on their website as needed. John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
With the number of people getting back into the workplace slowing nationally, what does that mean for Utah companies?
Joining us live on the KSL Newsline is President and CEO of the Salt Lake Chamber, Derek Miller. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Amanda. Hope you're doing well.
Hope you're doing well as well. As we're looking at these numbers, what does it mean for Utah companies as they're trying to get people back into the workplace?
Well, as I was thinking about these numbers this morning, and like everyone else, I woke up and was quite surprised to see what's happening on the national front. The one word that came to mind was alignment, or maybe the better word in this case is misalignment. What we have going on here is a misalignment, I think, in three important areas as we think about companies and businesses that are creating jobs and trying to fill jobs, yet on the other hand, we have still a lot of people who are on the unemployment rolls. So I think what we've got here, Amanda, is misalignment in geography, meaning a lot of places like Utah that are growing jobs quickly, in fact, the fastest growing job rate in the country. And yet we don't necessarily have the same population here as other places do, which is one of the reasons why our population is growing. People are coming here for the jobs. We also have a misalignment in skills, meaning we have in Utah about the same number of people unemployed as we do job openings, yet those skills don't necessarily match up. So we've got to do some work there. And then we have some misalignment in incentives. As was mentioned in your earlier segment, if people are trying to find employees, but yet those potential employees are making more money by not having a job on unemployment, then that causes a problem for us.
Boy, this is a real conundrum for businesses that obviously have struggled through the pandemic. The hope would be that wages increase that would encourage those people to come back to work. On the other hand, you've got businesses, particularly restaurants, that as they see more clientele come through the door, then the level of service becomes a concern if they don't have those employees.
It certainly does, Jim, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, when I go out to eat in Salt Lake City and beyond, there's not a restaurant I go into that I don't see on every door a help wanted sign. And it's not just restaurants. It's a lot of other hospitality industries, including hotels and others that are starting to come back. And what we see is a couple of things. Number one, there are a number of employees that don't necessarily want to go back into those hospitality industries because they sensed during the pandemic a level of concern about the certainty and the stability of the jobs. Then, of course, we have people who are naturally concerned about the coronavirus. The pandemic isn't over. And we also see another important issue. Women dropped out of the workforce at a rate of about 2-to-1 to men, and that has almost everything to do with childcare. So these are some important issues and challenges that we've got to have some policy considerations on how to address those.
Are women going to come back into the workforce, or do you think some of those women are staying out for good?
Well, we certainly hope they will. We need women in the workforce. We need diversity in the workforce. One of the things that we're working on at the Chamber is how do we address this child care issue. And I think, Amanda, probably the most important thing that's going to happen is next fall when kids start getting back into school, in-person school, that's going to be a big leap forward.
Derek, thanks for your time this morning. President and CEO of the Salt Lake Chamber, Derek Miller, for a bit of in-depth analysis this morning.
Developing news on KS on His Radio, a federal grand jury is indicting four former Minneapolis police officers. They're accused of violating George Floyd's constitutional rights, according to indictments unsealed this morning. We are learning that the officers are charged for their failure to provide Floyd with medical care. Derek Chauvin is one of the four. He was convicted of murder and manslaughter last month in Floyd's death. He has yet to be sentenced. Chauvin is also charged in a second indictment stemming from the arrest and neck restraint of a 14-year-old boy in 2017.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.